When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Hey everyone, it's Ted from Consumer Cellular, the guy in the orange sweater, and this is your wake-up call. If you're paying too much for wireless service, you don't have to keep having that nightmare. Consumer Cellular has the same fast, reliable coverage as the leading carriers for less. And for a limited time, new customers receive their second month free when they sign up and use promo code MONTHFREE by May 31st. So why keep spending more than you have to? Seriously, wake up and call 1-888-FREEDOM or visit ConsumerCellular.com.
Taxes, fees, and other third-party charges will apply. See website for additional details.
When you have health insurance, it's easy to forget about your out-of-pocket costs. That can be a lot of money, but are your bills accurate? Well, it's estimated that over 50% of medical bills contain errors. HealthLock can help you. HealthLock technology securely connects with your insurance and flags any overbilling, wrong codes, and fraud. You can even have HealthLock work on your behalf to get money back from select past bills. To date, HealthLock has helped its members save over $130 million. So to save, visit HealthLock.com today. That's HealthLock.com today.
This is the Black Information Network Daily Podcast, and I'm your host, Ramses Ja. And sometimes the amount of stories that make their way to us means that we simply can't cover everything that comes our way. But from time to time, a story just stays with me, and I feel compelled to share it with you and give you my thoughts. And now, one more thing.
All right, so today we are going to have a long overdue conversation about Palestine. Longtime listeners of the show will know that we have had discussions about the goings on the ground in Palestine, in Gaza, and it has been more than enough time for us to have supplied you with an update. Today's episode will feature a good friend of the show, Suzanne Aslam. So welcome back to the show.
Thank you.
And we have a lot of things to cover since a lot of things have transpired since our last conversation. The humanitarian crisis is ongoing. Every day the death toll grows. Every day we get more images. And as a result, things have changed. New developments have taken place, and it is important to get some insight from people who know. Before I introduce you fully, I want to implore all of our listeners of today's show to check out Civic Cypher. The radio show has aired, but the podcast content is still available. And we have had a conversation with Ami Horowitz, who has a decidedly pro-Israeli stance on the war in Gaza. And we've had a conversation with you, a person with a decidedly pro-Palestinian stance on the war in Gaza. And for people who need to have more context to hear from both sides, I implore you to check that out. There is a standing invitation for Ami to make his way here. But Suzanne has made her way here first. And as a result, we are going to have this conversation for the benefit of the Black Information Network as well. And for the podcast as well. So long form content. And, you know, when that time comes, when and if that time comes with Ami, we'll explain who he is. Otherwise, you can listen to that episode. But today, Suzanne Aslam is with us in the studio, and she is a human rights major, a former Miss Arab USA, an actress, and an activist turned writer. But as an activist and a Palestinian American woman, she spent time in Palestine working with a peacekeeping team. And naturally, she has a deep and personal understanding of the occupation there. She has family in the West Bank and can speak intelligently to the goings on in the West Bank, which often enough is used as a way to justify the Israeli treatment of people in Gaza, in proper Gaza encampment. And I want you to, if you're as passionate about people being kind to each other as I am, I want you to follow her social media. She is at The Actorvist. I love that name. We'll say it as many times as I need to. It's so perfect for you. Welcome back to the show. And I'm really excited to have today's conversation with you. First off, I want to make sure that we are being as respectful as we can here. I know that this is a tough thing. You know, I have tough conversations. I have to watch tough videos of Black people suffering at the hands of an oppressive system. And while it never hits me this way, I'm respectful of the fact that it may hit other people in a way that suggests that somehow we are wanting to learn about your trauma because it's like a freak show, or it's like something like that. Like it's something for us to be entertained by.
Right.
I want to make sure that you know, of course, and that our listeners know that that is not what we're doing here. Although we might have some conversations that have some graphic details. The purpose of this conversation, and indeed every conversation I have, is to foster allyship, to inform people on how we can be better to each other and how to support each other. And to make sure that the most accurate narrative is chronicled. And these are the terms under which I want to have today's conversation. And as you know, I'm sure you know, all of our conversations have been under these terms. In other words, I realize that you have to go through all of the traumatic stuff to have the conversation with you. I respect that. I appreciate that. And I know that our listeners will appreciate that as well. So, before we start, I know that you came with some notes today. Is there anything that you would like to say before we get to the nuts and bolts of the conversation?
Yeah, I have notes.
I love that.
Especially after listening to Ami's interview with you. But which we can get into as we go along. But the one thing that I will say that I told you before we started rolling is that this is the first time in history in 75 years of occupation and oppression and apartheid that Palestinians' voices are finally being heard. Yeah. And Israel had 75 years to prop up their lies. And it worked. It worked up to the point that they're able to commit genocide openly and nobody can stop them. And so we're just really grateful that we have people like you guys who are able to give and want to give and are curious to give the Palestinians a chance to explain what's going on the ground, explain a little bit of the backstory. Which is also simultaneously frustrating because I wonder why I have to explain 75 years of history for you to look at what's happening now, not you, but for people to look at what's happening now and go, oh yeah, that's probably bad. Like, why can't we just look at what's happening now, stand alone and say, hey, we'll worry about history classes later, but we need to stop this.
What's happening right now.
Yeah. But instead, I get frustrated because I feel like unless I can justify our right to exist and explain to you that Israel has no right to defend itself the way it's claiming, then maybe you'll be on our side. And that's what is just so maddening about where we are. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There's something that I feel is important, you know, with respect to history. Working in this space now for a couple of years, I have learned how deep Black and Jewish roots go in this country with respect to civil rights and the pursuits of like equality and things like this, right? There's been a lot of Jewish people who have stood with Black people and Black people who stood with Jewish people over the years in this country. And that relationship has certainly endeared me, the individual, to Jewish people beyond what I would have already been, you know, endeared with.
Just human to human, right?
You know, I've shared this before on the show that I grew up with a lot of Jewish people. I went to a high school that had a huge Jewish population, and have a lot of meaningful, relationships and have had a lot of meaningful experiences with Jewish people. Dear, dear friends, that, you know, I've been at births. I've been at funerals for people that I've known, you know, so. That history really matters.
It does.
And then learning the history of the Palestinian people, I saw very much the same thing. And that was something that was extremely eye-opening and extremely meaningful. Because as you mentioned, my impulse was as it should have been. Which is, okay, whatever is going on there, that needs to stop.
Right.
Regardless of what, you know, because initially I didn't know.
Right.
And I admitted that this is something that is very new to me. I did not follow the history going back 75 years. I didn't know it. It wasn't a part of my reality.
Mm-hmm.
But when I first got clicked on, I'm like, okay, this is.
Yeah. Once you see it, you can't.
Yeah. You're like, whoa, okay, that's something different. Mm-hmm. Right. But then I did a little bit more homework as I do working in this space. And I discovered that, you know, Malcolm X has strong ties to Palestine and a free Palestine. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. has strong, you know, he's on record, you know, supporting that. Nelson Mandela, you and I have had this conversation before. You know, these great Black leaders who are now ancestors, who have supported a free Palestine. And that converged at the point when I was able to distinguish Jewish people from the state of Israel.
Yes.
And so I became then free to love Jewish people, like I always have, and love Palestinian people who I was getting to know.
Correct.
As far as I know, you are the first Palestinian person that I've ever met knowingly in my life. And I've since met others, but you know, when you grow up with Jewish people, your impulse is to try to protect Jewish people because you know their story.
Right.
And now that I know Palestinian people, my impulse is to protect them from the state of Israel because most of the Jewish people I know, most, not all, but most of the Jewish people I know feel the way that I feel, like, yo, these people deserve to live free on their land.
Right.
And
so let's talk about that. You're actually protecting us from the same idea.
Okay.
So Jews experienced oppression in Europe against, you know, Christian racism, right? You had all these people who didn't like the fact that they were Jewish, strictly based on the fact that they were Jewish. It had nothing to do with anything else. It was just pure racism. And they wanted them out of Europe. When everything was happening in Eastern Europe in World War II, between World War I and World War II, there were pogroms pushing Jews out of their homes. And they were slowly making their way west. Britain did not like it. Britain did not want the Jewish population there. So we had to find a way to not let them stay in Europe. This is their thinking. And so they called it the Jewish problem. America, they tried going to America. America denied most of them. At one point, Lord Balfour, who is one of the architects, Theodore Herzl and Lord Balfour are the two guys who've really screwed the world over in this regard. When the Ottoman Empire fell in, like, well, I think it's 1917.
Yes.
Britain took over Palestine. So in the Ottoman Empire, Palestine did well. Like the Turks had occupied it, but they didn't do what Israel does now, where they like bring all their people and they take it over. It's just that they kind of just were the kind of overarching occupiers. But Jews and Christians and Palestinians and Muslim, everybody lived there fine, and it was fine. This is what we're trying to say, is we're trying to get back to that. Growing up, my grandfather's best friend was a Jewish man from Jerusalem, Jewish boy, and they were fine, because it wasn't about that under the Ottoman Empire. When Britain took over, they decided to give Palestine to the Jews that they did not want in Britain. They originally, before that, were going to try to give them Uganda. You can look this up. They were going to try to give them Uganda.
I read about this.
But the colonial settlers, the white colonial settlers in Uganda, did not want the Jews there. And they were like, no, we've already colonized this place. We don't want them coming over and colonizing too. So then they looked at other places. They looked at Argentina. They looked at a few other places that they were trying to, Theodore Herzl was trying to figure out. He's the father of Zionism. Mm-hmm. And he was trying to figure out where, what they can do, where they can create the Zionist state. That is a Euro-ethnocentric Judaism state. Eventually, through Lord Balfour, he was British, not wanting them in the UK, eventually, when the Brits took over Palestine, they were like, hey, we have this land, we'll just give this to you. And it's the Holy Land, which works out really well. Originally, that they weren't trying to go after the Holy Land, if they were trying to go after Uganda and Argentina and all the other places, I can't remember. So they ended up there, and they slowly militarized it, and they were working in cahoots. They wanted access. They wanted to make sure the Europeans, the Brits, wanted to make sure they had access to like the Suez Canal and things like that. So installing this Zionist regime inside of Palestine, still, it was mutually beneficial, because they got the land that they wanted. The Zionists got the land that they wanted. And then the UK still sort of had a hand in making sure that dealing with the Arabs around that region, they kind of had an in. Okay. Through the Zionists that were living there. And that was sort of the start of how this took place.
Well, some of that I knew, most of it I did not. And I think that's very important, because so this is something that I've been told, is that, you know, we need to go back.
Yeah.
We need to, both sides say, you know, we need to go back. By both sides, I mean the pro Palestinian side and pro Israeli side. Mm-hmm. We need to go back and find out, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
And what I have found in going back, and remember, the people who initially told me to go back were pro-Israeli folks.
That's funny.
When I went back, and what I found out, all the way back, feels like what you just said. Like,
right.
This feels like some stuff that happened to the Palestinians. They didn't bring this on themselves.
No.
And I like how you mentioned that. I mean, I believe you said it was your grandfather.
Yeah,
or my grandfather. He was a little boy with a little Jewish boy.
Yeah.
That reminds me of something that was said by, there is a man that we refer to as Palestinian.
Yes. Okay?
He's a friend of the show, and his social media is
Resistance
is beautiful. Beautiful. Resistance is beautiful with underscores in between. Something like that. He has been on the show before, and he said something that, reminds me of what your grandfather, recalling when he told you the story. He said something like, one day when Palestine is returned to us, we will welcome the Jews in Palestine like we always have.
Right.
And the Jews will beautify the land.
Yeah.
And I think that was
it. It's very well said.
Yes. And I think it speaks to a lot of, cause he is a Muslim man.
Right.
And, a lot of the poetry that comes from Muslim people, I've spent some time in some Muslim countries, this is the most beautiful in the world. And that was about as poetic a thing as I've ever heard in my life. So I appreciate you sharing that history with me. It does vibe and jive with what I've learned in terms of the history of that part of the world.
And I said this on Civic Cypher last week, but the quote that Ami used to attempt to justify what Israel has been doing, he pulled it from Golda Meir, who was the fourth prime minister of Israel, who was originally Palestinian. Mm-hmm. She was a Palestinian Jew, but then when Israel became Israel, she became the fourth prime minister.
you mentioned too on that show that on her, it was like her birth certificate or passport or something, it says place of birth,
Palestine. Yeah.
Okay.
So there's a video of her you could watch of her saying, I'm Palestinian.
Well, I appreciate, I think that people need to know that so that people are aware that,
Palestine always existed. Yeah. And they later turned it into Israel. Her exact quote is, when peace comes, we will perhaps in time be able to forgive the Arabs for killing our sons, but it will be harder for us to forgive them for having forced us to kill theirs. And it's just the strangest statement to, for Palestinians to be so abused by these foreigners who came in to their land, who originally we welcomed them in as refugees when nobody else was taking them. They came in, they eventually started to occupy violently. And the reason the 1948 thing is a big deal, it's when they created their quote independence.
I'm not familiar with 1948.
This is why we say 75 years, the year being 1948.
Okay.
May. We had what we experienced is called the Nakba. Nakba is the Arabic word for catastrophe. Israeli militia expelled 750,000 people from their homes in that time period in a very short amount of time. And they ran away. My grandmother was able to run away to Jordan, having heard about it, and then later was able to come back. But they didn't know if they were going to be safe or not. So the people that were able to, like, we have family in Jordan, they were able to get them away. But 750,000 people were expelled. And it's so interesting how this happens. And if there's any resistance on the Palestinians' part, Israelis go crazy. The Israeli state goes crazy and they attack with so much extra force. For what? Ramses, if I came into your home right now and I took it over and then I hurt your wife and kids, and you tried to defend them, in what world are you the bad guy? Yet they've created this narrative where you're the bad guy for defending your home and your family. Sometimes we're just in shock and we don't understand how this is the narrative that's been created, because in no other land, in no other part of the world, is this acceptable, except for when we talk about Palestinians. When we talk about Palestinians, then we get to go, they threw a rocket. Well, you threw all the rockets. Palestinians threw one rocket. I don't like violence, but at some point, people are going to resist. What do you expect them to do? Sure. So it's really frustrating that they expect Palestinians, the world community expects us to be like really peaceful victims, really compliant victims, and we just are allowed to just let Israel do whatever they want to us. It's so strange. And then they blame us for it.
So here's what I want to do. Let us shift gears.
Let's do it.
And talk about that world community.
Yeah, you want to talk about the UN? Or people? Or governments?
Both. All three.
Mm.
This concludes part one of our four-part special with Palestinian-American, human rights major, and former Miss Arab USA Suzanne Aslam, discussing the Palestinian perspective on the Israel-Hamas war and the Free Palestine movement. Check back in with us tomorrow for part four of our four-part series right here on the Black Information Network with me, your host, Ramses Ja.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Nobody wants to outlive their money, but it happens, especially for women. That's why Gainbridge offers the Parity Flex annuity, designed for women's unique retirement needs, with flexible withdrawals plus a guaranteed lifetime income benefit that keeps paying you even if your account balance is zero. Gainbridge is helping build a better financial future for women. Retirement income you can't outlive is the ultimate flex. Start saving now at Gainbridge.io. Visit Gainbridge.io/ParityFlex for current rates, full product disclosures and disclaimers, and other important information.